everyone, and welcome back to the Lifebeat Podcast. I am your host, Danny Earle, and today I am joined by a very special guest, the president of Right to Life of Michigan, Amber Roseboom. Welcome on.
Hi, Danny. Thank you so much for having me today.
Of course. We're happy to have you. It is a new year. 2024 has closed, and we are on to 2025. Super exciting moving forward. We are very happy to have Amber here today. We're going to talk about our organization as a whole. We're also going to get to know her a little bit better, which is always exciting. Amber worked here her first job out of college.
Yeah, don't tell anyone the year.
Perfect.
Actually, this is good. We can let our listeners know that we have a little in-studio audience today. Mara, who was a guest on a previous podcast, is in here with us just to listen, and that's who you heard laugh.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Mara was here, I believe it was two episodes ago. She had great insight, so we're happy to have her, and maybe in the future we can have her back on as well.
Great idea.
So from starting here at Rights of the Life of Michigan,
sure.
And then you went on to work more in the political realm. Could you talk a little bit about that switch?
Sure. So I did. I was so blessed that my first job out of college, not my first job ever, but my first job out of college was at Right to Life of Michigan in the late 90s. I worked for Barb Listing, who I know many, if not all of our listeners are familiar with. It was an extraordinary experience, and I was exposed to so much information. I thought I knew a lot about the life issue. I had started a small group at Michigan State University. And we had Peggy Noonan, who was Ronald Reagan's speechwriter at one point, come in and talk to us. Yeah, she was awesome. That was just so thrilling for me. In any event, so I had a great experience. And ultimately, my husband and I moved to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an opportunity to serve then President George W. Bush, was there for the full two terms. I was exposed to so much at that point, too, and really had an opportunity to learn a lot, primarily about political communications mm-hmm. and crisis communications. But as far as my pro-life views, looking back, I really was always pro-life in my heart, even mm-hmm. if I didn't necessarily identify it as such, you know, right out of the gate. I think the views started to solidify more when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I got really interested in government from a government class that I was taking. Mr. Montgomery was my teacher. He was phenomenal. It was Lakeland High School, class of 92. And I got really interested in government and public service.
Mm-hmm.
I have such a huge amount of respect for people who go into public service. It really is a calling, and you sacrifice so much to do it. And on a completely different track, a very good, very close girlfriend of mine had an abortion. And I didn't even know she was pregnant. And we were talking about just very casually going out. What were we going to do? I think it was a sophomore. And she said she couldn't because she had just had an abortion. And I thought, oh my gosh, I was so blind to this, you mm-hmm. know, and that it was so close. And I thought, what in the world would lead my friend to think that was her only option? Mm-hmm. And that kind of sparked an interest in learning more and getting more involved. So if I had to look at what formed that interest, it probably goes back to that. It's funny, you know, you mentioned a career path. I wish I was so strategic as to actually chart out some sort of career path, and uh-huh. I didn't at all. It was really just trying to be sensitive to a calling and where I was supposed to be
mm-hmm.
at any given point. But I hope, you know, I look at the team here at Right to Life of Michigan and the wonderful opportunity we have, all of us here, really, the three of us in the room, to be part of this organization and this movement at such a consequential time. We all bring different skills and experiences, some through our family, friendships, and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some of us were at different periods in our career path, and some through experiences that we've had. I was really able, I won't mention any names because I don't know if they would want me to, I haven't asked, but I was able to learn from and work with some of the country's best crisis management and communications people and really learn best practices and tactics and strategy for addressing big communications challenges that our country has faced. So included like after 9/11, the attacks of 9/11, Sago Mine disaster, Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. And I really learned so much by working for these people. I'm so grateful for that because now I can look and see how God, you know, by his grace is using it in service to this mission, working alongside all of you and our affiliates. It's very right. exciting.
Yeah, I think calling it a calling more than the career path, I feel the same way. This is my first job out of college working here, and I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do career-wise, as in what position I wanted to apply for. And I just felt a calling, check out Right to Life of Michigan, see what they have available. And thankfully, there was a position that kind of fit in my advertising and public relations wheelhouse. And I was able to work here, and it's been just about 8 months, and I do feel like it is such a calling. It is so great to be here, part of an organization that I don't think I'd be as happy somewhere else, working at a job where I feel like work is going towards one sole purpose, and that might be just putting money in my pocket. Yeah. I like working towards a mission that is bettering our world.
That's trying awesome. To
change,
yeah.
Yeah, change hearts and minds.
And I think, too, you said you've been here for 8 months. It feels like you've been here longer.
And
you've contributed so much already. It's really exciting to see that, you know, to see it kind of blossom and flower. Even at conference, I'm sure some of our listeners were at conference and saw you. You're a great speaker, you know,
Thank
and you,
you.
Can
Thank
really
you.
Kind of run a room. And that's a unique skill. You've brought so much to the team.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You've been here for about a year now. What are some achievements that Right to Life of Michigan has seen in the past year and as an organization overall in the past? And how do you think that that's impacted the pro-life movement more broadly?
Sure. So I came back. You're right. I've been serving in this position for a year now. I was just thinking that as I was driving in today, I was thinking, oh my gosh, what a different drive it is today than a year ago when I was driving in and seriously praying the whole way in, you know, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom and guidance and strength. I continue to say that prayer, but by the grace of God, it's with a little bit less desperation than it was a year ago.
Sure.
I came back to Michigan and started serving again under Barb's leadership in July of 2022.
Okay.
And that's when we were in the midst of the fight on Proposal 3.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very condensed, very intense period of time. And again, I just learned so much from Barb, but also the team that she had assembled to lead the effort. So we have some extraordinary national consultants and some folks that we work with out of Chicago who are really top-notch in advertising and polling and messaging. And they brought a lot to bear in that fight, which, you know, we ultimately lost. But it was an opportunity still to get our message out. One of the, I think, interesting things about that time period, before I move on to this year or last year, of that time period was, even in the midst of that fight, what we later found out was that the number of abortions in Michigan actually went down.
Mm-hmm.
So while there was this really, I think, challenging proposal that ultimately passed, women were still making a choice for life at a higher rate, which I think speaks to where we want to go in the future. Even though a woman in Michigan can have an abortion for any reason at any point in her pregnancy, she doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to do is make it so that she wants to make a choice for life, has really the practical supports that she needs to make a choice for life. And I think that's the ideal scenario for us to be in. Gosh, over the last year, again, by the grace of God, we have just had such extraordinary accomplishments looking back. And I love to talk about it because I hope our affiliates, our volunteers, and our staff feel really good about what we were able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. We mounted an unprecedented get out the vote effort. We reached 700,000 targeted voters in our state and were able to shift their opinions and also motivate them to go out to the polls. Most of the people that we reached out to, so we had targeted districts. Like when you look at politics, you often have these targeted regions mm-hmm. of the state. And if you were in a targeted region, you heard from Right to Life of Michigan no less than 70 times in the election cycle. And that's doors, phones, text messages, emails. We had a very robust direct mail program. Mm-hmm. And then if you weren't in a targeted area, but you were one of our targeted voters, you heard from us no less than 32 times. So very, very aggressive effort. And I think, you know, not I think, what we definitely saw play out was it was a success.
Right.
We're the biggest grassroots organization in the state. We have the most active grassroots and volunteers. And not only did they respond, but they turned around and were active on behalf of this cause. Mm-hmm. So that was really exciting to see. We also launched our Life the Other Choice ad campaign. We did two phases of it. In the first 3 weeks alone of that campaign being launched, so those are ads that you can find on our website, rtl.org/videos/. Those ads, we saw an increase of 14% for calls going to a pregnancy hotline from Michigan just based on that ad campaign. That's stunning. So what does that mean actually in terms of numbers? That means 32 women, and this is just taking those first few weeks of the launch, 32 women who were currently pregnant, weren't sure if they were going to keep their babies, then reached out to that 1-800-712-HELP line in order to explore what a choice for life might look like. So confidential mm-hmm. counseling. And then the folks at that hotline connect the woman, the caller, to a pregnancy care center closest to her, so in her community. And again, we know that there are more than 100 pregnancy resource centers who offer a myriad of resources and supports based on what a woman might need all across the state. So it's really beautiful to think about not just the very important impact that we're having in the political realm. We took back our state house, absolutely critical for protecting pro-life laws like parental consent still on the books and advocating a host of other pro-life pieces of legislation. But in that very direct outreach to women, we can see and quantify in some regards the immediate impact that we're having, which is really exciting. We've expanded our MyGen Leads program, which is outreach to students and young adults. So Jaslyn Bailey has been just so exceptional. She's got so much enthusiasm and energy mm-hmm. and a real heart for the mission. And she's been out there talking at colleges and universities across the state. We have a couple new groups that are forming right now as we speak. And she's gotten to be quite a public speaker herself. So that's mm-hmm. really cool to see. And then we underwent an entire revamp of our website. If folks haven't been to our website in a while, they should go to rtl.org and see that new look and feel, a brand refresh mm-hmm. as well. And we look at where people are right now. They are largely in the digital space, so they're online. And I know people say, oh, that's awful. We need to put down our phones. Part of being an effective organization is accepting where we are right now as a mm-hmm. culture. And so we need to be where people are. And if they're on their phones, I mean, I am too, more than I would like to admit, we need to reach them there. And so under the leadership of our digital media director, Gracie O'Brien, we have doubled our reach on Facebook and Instagram. And that's organic growth. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, turning our messaging into beautiful visuals and targeting, you know, women, primarily younger women on social media. We've doubled our growth on Facebook and Instagram. That's huge. This year, what we'll be looking to do is actually allocate funds towards that so that we are able to expand that reach and kind of blow it up even more. We've also, you know, when we think about the pro-life movement more broadly in Michigan, there are a number of different facets of it. And so at Right to Life of Michigan, we talk about the three legs of the stool: legislative, education, and political activism. PRCs are part of this overall body of pro-life work within the state. And they're when you think about where they fit, they're the front lines. They're right. They're the service aspect. And so we want to make sure that as an organization, we're doing what we can to make it fertile ground for them. So the advertising campaign is one aspect of that. Our affiliates educating on what they do and what PRCs do and their functions is a huge part of that. And then our legislative presence. We have a legislative office, as you know. Genevieve Marnin and Hennessy are in our legislative office, and they were instrumental in protecting against some really dangerous pieces of legislation that the governor and her abortion-obsessed allies in Lansing put forward that would undercut the work of PRCs across our state. So we try to work together and continue to foster an even better working relationship between us and PRCs and all the other pro-life organizations in the state looking to do good work. We may have different strategies and tactics at some points, but really our mission is the same, you know, and that's to save lives.
Absolutely. I think just hearing everything from last year, I remember in 2022 when Proposal 3 passed, this was before I'd considered working at Right to Life of Michigan. I was still in school, so I wasn't quite looking for a full-time job. I remember feeling pretty defeated that that was this big loss in our state, and truthfully it is, but seeing all these victories since then I think is huge, that the fight is nowhere near over. It was not a seal that we're done, our organization, there's nothing to do. I think it invigorated a lot of people, and there is still so much good that has come since then and still a lot of work to do in the future that we are excited to take on.
Yeah, I think so too, Dan. I'm glad you brought that up. Like, as we come up here on the anniversary of Roe, which we still look at, I think a lot of us, we felt like the Dobbs decision was more of an end, you know? There's such huge relief when it was released, but really it was just the end of one chapter.
Right.
You know, and Proposal 3 is, it's significant, but it's a chapter. And what it really means is we just need to be very intentional in rethinking how we can have the biggest impact, because the terrain has changed. And so women can choose to have an abortion. That's a reality. But how can we make it so that she doesn't want to?
Right.
I mean, it's one of the things that, looking back early on, I've always had a lot of difficulty reconciling the idea of America and what a great country we are and the ideals that we stand for. It's really incredible when you think about our position in the world and what it's meant, what just having an America in the world, a shining city on a hill, means. Reconciling that with the idea that people feel we must have abortion as an option. That just doesn't make any sense to me. So how do we make it so that even if a woman can choose it, she doesn't want to?
Right.
Because all the supports exist. And I mean all the supports. So a woman, a young woman, doesn't feel judgment when she goes to church. That she has to change churches or have an abortion before anyone finds out.
Right.
Or that she could really, and I mean really, finish college, finish classes, you know, that she can really, if she wants to, continue in her career? What are all the supports that we need to put in place as a society to say, no matter what, you can choose life?
Right. Absolutely. I think promoting life as such a positive option is huge, especially in our advertisements, seeing women who are pregnant or recent mothers just in a positive lighting. I feel like a lot of advertisements that are more mainstream can hide that aspect. Yep. Or pro-abortion activists talk about how much of a burden it's going to be.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's one of the most beautiful choices that could be made.
Absolutely.
So.
In fact, I saw, and I won't say who it was. People can Google it if they want. I saw a very famous actress talk about abortion as mercy. And that struck me. I thought, oh my gosh, that's such a distortion of what mercy actually is. But what made her say that? The idea that abortion saves you from something else.
Right.
So what are those other things that we can help remove and provide real support so that no one would ever say abortion is mercy?
Right.
That really just flips truth on its head, you know?
Absolutely. After going over our successes from the last year, what are some priorities that we're looking for now that we're in 2025? What are we looking to push out of our organization this year?
Sure. Well, I think of when we look at what our priorities are, I think kind of on two tracks, what is due north for us? So with regard to our mission, and we say all it needs to fit within this, it needs to help advance kind of due north. I think due north for us as an organization is shaping public opinion to value life, you know, and for sure, a huge part of that on both ends is saving lives. But in order to do that on every front, we need to shape public opinion, because we know we saw in Proposal 3, we're not at a majority even of Michiganders, of Americans who value life such that they don't think abortion is a viable option. So that's a really important marker for us. As far as ways that we do that and some of the key things that we'll be focused on as an organization, for sure, relaunching that Life the Other Choice ad campaign. And that's a very expensive endeavor for us. It takes millions of dollars to get these ads up on broadcast media and to really disperse them in an effective way in the digital space and on streaming services. We'll also be expanding our reach through our affiliates and communities across the state. So, as you know, we have about 80 affiliates all across our state, very, very active, doing the great hard work of identifying and going to fairs and being in parades and getting in schools and expanding our reach and creating a voice within churches. So looking to expand our reach to our affiliates, creating new compelling educational materials to address issues that are real in our communities.
Right.
You know, the abortion pill is very accessible. Explaining to young people what Plan B is. It's being used all across high schools and colleges. And I think a lot of girls and women don't know one, what it really does, and two, the negative impacts that it can have on her health. And of course, expanding our reach in the digital space, protecting pro-life laws that still remain on the books. We know some of these very important laws have been under threat in Lansing. And parental consent, I mentioned that earlier, that's a very important one that we need to keep in place. And, you know, at the other end of life, we see a growing threat of physician-assisted suicide here in Michigan. So continuing to build and educate on that, because it's definitely a fight that we're going to see in the years ahead.
Right. So as we go into this new year, we, as you mentioned, we have great volunteers out there. We have very generous donors. We run based on the help that these people give us. What can people do to be actively involved with Right to Life of Michigan this year?
Yeah, well, two things. One, actually, let's do three things. The first thing I would encourage people to do is go to our website, rtl.org. Even take just 30 minutes, scroll around, read some of what we're talking about, and learn more about our mission. That leads into the second thing. I really truly believe that the most important thing any one of us can do on the issue of life is have the courage to talk about it within our own social circles, our friends, our family, our colleagues. That takes wisdom and judgment about how to do it, because we need to approach it compassionately and with humility and true love. St. Thomas Aquinas said, love is to will the good of the other. That requires us to listen and to engage with courage and humility. I think sometimes it can be easier to say, well, it's the job of Right to Life of Michigan, so I'll go to an event or I'll do this. All those are good things. But if we do one thing this year, it's to have the courage you had when you made a decision to come to Right to Life of Michigan and serve, you know, that your friends and family are going to know what you think about this very now political issue in some regards. It's not at its core a political issue, but it has been so politicized that that sometimes it can be hard to talk about it. So having the courage to do that. And then, you know, all this takes money. Everything we talked about that we're going to be doing this year, it takes money. So to donate. And folks can do that by going to rtl.org/donate/. And we appreciate every dollar that comes in. Every dollar matters, and it enables us to create more materials and to increase the quality of our materials so that young people who are used to picking up very fancy brochures and flyers see something they want to pick up that's inviting to them.
Right. Building off that third point, we've talked about our end of year match on this podcast last few weeks. Just a quick update. We have extended that through January 8th. Our very generous donors who have agreed to match all donations, they have agreed to let us go 8 more days. So if you are able to make a donation between now and January 8th, that donation will be 100% matched through the education fund. And building off of your second point, how you mentioned that we just need to have that conversation more, I feel like that is very important. A lot of times, even I find myself, I work here, this is my job, I'll go home and talking with my roommates about how my day was, sometimes I feel hesitant talking about pro-life issues. And that's something that I feel like needs to change. It's New Year. Maybe that'll be my New Year's resolution, is to just talk about it more. But it's having these conversations more often, because if we aren't having these conversations, then how do we expect to change hearts and minds? So
absolutely.
Very important point.
Absolutely.
All right, Amber, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you so much for your insight. We're really looking forward to this year coming up, and you've given us a great trajectory. So we thank you for leading us and taking us down this path as we move forwards.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for doing this podcast. And thank you, and also Mara, who is still in here with us, for your extraordinary work. And a big thank you to all of our donors and our affiliate leaders and our volunteers who are in the field and quietly sacrificing for this really incredible mission of ours.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.